The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
More with Bill Myers.
Good morning and welcome to Conspiracy Theory Thursday. And you can join in and share yours if you wish. 770-5633-770-KMED. My email, bill@billmyersshow.com. Speaking of my email, I received one yesterday from Jamie. And I have received probably, while I was on vacation for a couple of days and over the weekend, and other people are saying, could this possibly be true? Oregon is attacking small farms. And here's what Jamie sent me last night. Bill, I was wondering if you have heard any valid information on the state government handing out cease and desist to small farm businesses over water conservation. I'm hearing from multiple sources that Oregon is using satellite imagery to locate farms and then forcing shutdowns. I know of a farm in Cottage Grove that is getting hounded with shutdown regulations, but wondering how widespread this is. I haven't heard anything local, but if this is true, then Oregonians need to be alerted. This could impact our food supply in a very negative way. Have a wonderful day. Jamie, you're right. I have not focused on this issue at first because, frankly, I've been concerned more about the county issues and the county, the attacks on the county with these charter changes and people calling me up and saying, well, you know, I'm a conservative and Denise Krause is actually is not unimpressive, you know, that sort of thing. It's like it's been kind of bizarre, the nuttery that has been people have been calling me up in the naivete of some so-called conservatives here in Southern Oregon about it. So I've been focusing on trying to dispel a lot of that over the last couple of weeks. And this whole idea about small farming, the attack on small farming, it's like, all right, I did a few lookups last night, and here is the way it's looking right now. And it has to do with whether or not small farms have a water right, okay? And I believe if you're using wells, you always had to have a water right. But anyway, let me just share. Here's a pretty good story on this one. And there have been breathless kind of health ranger kind of things. Mercola, you see all those kind of things. The usual suspects go out there and they send out 1,000 emails and they send out 1,000 videos. And oh, my gosh, you know, the sky is falling. We're going to kill you, et cetera. And sometimes, yeah, you're right. They are trying to kill you. But set that aside. This is Conspiracy Theory Thursday. This is what's going on with the so-called attack on small farmers. I'm just going and referencing an Oregon Public Broadcasting article from March 13th. As Oregon enforces its water use requirements, small farmers face the consequences. All right? And here's the story as they put it out. They have an example here. Christina Del Campo surveys her field, pointing out the garlic she hopes will grow on its own and the blueberries she'll no longer be able to sell. This section of the field, I don't know if I can even plant it, she said. I'm potentially just going to put up in a cover crop and build up the soil while I live in limbo and see what's going to happen with water rights. See, this is what this is going on. This is Christina Del Campo runs Oak Song Farm near Eugene. Oak Song Farm is a property located off Lorraine Highway near Eugene, just over half an acre dedicated to agriculture. For the last 7 years, Del Campo has used well water to grow vegetables here, which she has then sold at farmers markets and to her neighbors. And she said that's been her primary source of income. It's like a convenience store, said Del Campo. People can stop in. I can see a lot of people coming in on Sunday mornings to grab fixings for breakfast. Okay, so you can understand, kind of see what's going on with Del Campo. However, everything changed last September. That's when Oak Song Farm received a letter from the regional office of the Oregon Water Resources Department. It was a notification that the farm couldn't irrigate its commercial crops without a water right. Del Campo said that this came as a complete surprise. Today, she said her business has been essentially destroyed. I don't know why growing food is illegal, she said. That's what doesn't make sense to me. Well, here's the deal when it comes to the law, folks. Water is a publicly owned resource in Oregon, meaning property owners need government approval for many of its uses. It's a finite resource, said Mike McCord, the Northwest Region Manager with the Oregon Water Resources Department. It's been in place since 1909. There are some exemptions, as those without a water right can use up to 5,000 gallons a day for commercial or industrial purposes. However, this does not include irrigation. For Del Campo, it's a frustrating double standard. She estimates she was using fewer than 1,000 gallons a day for agriculture. I'm not overusing water. I'm not overusing land, said Del Campo. I'm just trying to have a small business and provide my community with food. And once I'm reading this, I'm going, oh, all right. Well, this makes a lot of sense, because remember the battles against hemp and people trying to use their water wells? And we were being told water wells were illegally being used for hemp and or marijuana, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same kind of rule. This is nothing really new. You cannot take your well and use it to irrigate commercial crops unless you have a water right to do that. When Del Campo says I don't know why growing food is illegal. That doesn't make sense to me. All right. This is, once again, though, it's not that growing food is illegal. It's growing commercial food is illegal using well water unless you have a water right. You have to have the water right for it. And I imagine those are getting tougher to get because of the fact that groundwater is continuing to get lower and lower as people pump it out. And we probably had a lot of that happen here in Southern Oregon, too. I dropped a note to Glenn Archambault, our Farm Services Director, elected official, for that, and seeing if he could maybe explain this. But I think this is the root of the breathless Oregon is attacking small farming. From what I can tell, if Del Campo was not selling those vegetables, he would probably be okay. But the fact that she's selling them commercially then means that you have to have the water right. Now, this letter, this is continuing on with Oregon Public Broadcasting. The letter to Oak Song Farms was one of 24 sent in a batch last fall throughout District 2, which covers the southern Willamette Valley. Department said some recipients later confirmed they were acting legally. The court said officials used aerial photography, complaints from neighbors, and in-the-field observation to find potential violations. He said new funding in 2021 allowed the state to hire more staff for enforcement. So, see, there we go. It wasn't that what she was doing was ever legal, but there weren't enough water cops up there or out there to be able to catch the people who were misusing the water, according to state statute. However, he said the rules, this is Mike McCord once again, the rules surrounding water rights haven't significantly changed since Oak Song Farm opened. What I'd like people to hear is that before someone invests in something like this, they have to do due diligence to know what they can and can't do and what they may or may not need in order to do it. Advocates for small farms say the exemptions can be confusing. There's a lack of knowledge in the real estate community that can mislead new property owners. And when you farm for other people, you just don't know all the business side of it, said Del Campo. Now, there is another wrinkle of this that I may get Glenn Archambault to speak on more authoritatively at some point, and it has to do with some other rules that would seem to be attacking small farms, that there are rules that seem to make every small producer of chicken or eggs, or you got a cow or two or something like that, you could be deemed a concentrated feed operation, concentrated animal feed operation. In other words, they're acting as if you're the huge, massive 30,000 head of cattle kind of operation, and you're polluting the water, but you only have one or two cows, you know, that sort of thing. One size fits all rules. That I have not had time to go and research thoroughly, but this whole idea over water rights, Campo and other people like her never had the right to irrigate commercial crops with their water, even if it was only 1,000 gallons a day or whatever the case, never had the water right. And the state is starting to crack down and investigate that more. And so that is the story there from what I can tell so far. And we'll get the agricultural Sherpa to help us understand. I mean, it is concerning there. It's not illegal to grow food. It is illegal to grow food that you're going to sell commercially, whether it's in the farmer's market or you're selling it to neighbors. When you're making it a business then it's a commercial, you need a water right for it, okay? Just try. I hope he settled some of that, though. But I have to tell you, I've probably received about 20, 25 emails on that over the last few days. And I hope that explains it. And you may not like it, but it always pretty much has been the rule in the state of Oregon that you don't irrigate, you don't just take well water that you have for your resident and then turn it into, well, I'm going to water crops and I'm going to sell these crops. Then it becomes a commercial agriculture kind of business. Regulation, regulation, and Oregon loves that, okay? 23 after 6, I hope that helps out. 770-563-3770-KMED, and you are on The Bill Meyer Show.
Two Dogs Fabricating knows trailers. They sell trailers and repair trailers. So if you'd like your trailer inspected, bring it to the dogs and they'll sniff it out. Two Dogs will check the axles, hitch, tongue, lights, bed, brakes, and more to make sure your trailer's roadworthy. Most trailers on the road are fine, but it's good to have it checked out once a year. They'll scrutinize crucial welds for corrosion and cracks too. And if you need any repairs, you'll get a quick, reasonable estimate. Two Dogs Fabricating on Ryan Way, off Sage in Medford.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
Artisan Bakery Cafe is your go-to for all things delicious. Pastries and espresso bar beverages for all seasons and for all reasons. Amazing March features include delicious taste sensations like their Irish soda bread, chocolate Guinness cupcakes with Irish cream frosting, paired with a delicious Irish cream brevet or a peppermint patty mocha. So many treats just waiting for you. Perfect for that office party, gathering, or special event. Get to know the family at 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer or visit artisanbakerymedford.com.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Clouser Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
625, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Join in at 770-5633. Hopefully we settled the attack on Oregon small farms on the water right issue. As far as the concentrated animal feedlot organization or operation rule, that's going to be a talk with another day, and I'll get Glenn Archambeau to kick that around. Tom's in talent. Tom, you're concerned about what you see as a conspiracy, the Rogue Valley Times, to squelch conversation on the charter changes. Love to get your take. What's going on?
Yeah, about three issues back, two or three, they on the opinion page, they declared that they would no longer have any more letters regarding or publish any more letters regarding the commissioner's election.
Really?
The reason they said is, well, we can't ascertain when people write in what's true or not true, so we're just going to put the kibosh on the whole discussion. You know, this is more than a month out for one of the most important decisions in Jackson County here, and they've said, well, we're not going to let people talk about it. We're not going to publish any letters in this regard.
Well, what's going on here is that they're trying to squelch dissent because they figured that the Rogue Valley Times readership, for the most part, is safely left wing and will be safely supportive of anything Denise Krause and the other Democrat folks are wanting to dream up. And that's what mostly is going on here. You know, when they talk about the facts, you know, this is not just a fact situation. This is a political opinion kind of a situation. What do you want for Southern Oregon? They're trying to make it sound as if it is some scientific discussion in which, follow the science, go to five commissioners, which is absolutely ridiculous of the Rogue Valley Times to kind of look at it that way, don't you think?
Well, what they cited was Kevin Christman's article saying that the people who were gathering signatures were actually being paid. And the next guy wrote in and said, no, that's a total lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Rogue Valley Times says, well, we can't determine who's telling the truth here, so we're just not going to publish any more letters. And my thinking is, no, you just publish them all and let people sort out. It's not the role of the Rogue Valley Times to determine what's true or not true. If they just simply published the letters, I think the truth would have eventually come out about all these different issues and also some insight to what the hell's going on with this really momentous decision that we have to make.
Well, part of it might also be the fact that if you're going to print a whole bunch of letters on the on this situation, and from what I understand, by the way, did you put a put an argument in the you know, against the charter changes in the voters pamphlet? I did. I did over Friday.
And I did that. I did too. Yes,
okay,
I
good.
Did.
Yeah.
In fact, I sent the and I condensed it a little bit and submitted a letter to the Rogue Valley Times, and it was in their hopper when they said we're no longer going to publish any letters like that. It was pretty strong. You know, it's a pretty strong statement.
Well, yeah, and I made one, too. I'm just basically doing the political smackdown, is that this is a Democrat Party deception, and that is my opinion. Now, that you may not, they may not consider that a fact, but this is an opinion. We have to share opinions about this because it's an opinion-based decision. It's not a rational or, you know, scientific, you know, kind of decision. It's what do you want for Southern Oregon, you know, for the government?
Yeah, and I think it was heavy-handed on their part to do that. And also the idea that they think it's almost a point of arrogance to think that they are in charge of determining what's truth and not truth.
Well, you know, freedom of the press belongs mostly to who owns the press.
And, yes, I've heard that
and,
many times.
And just to be fair to the Rogue Valley Times, it's a pretty small operation. It's pretty thin gruel in many ways. In fact, they just lost their publisher. Their publisher just quit. And I think their editor just quit a little while. I don't know if this is indicative that there are problems over there. But every time, if they're going to put this in the print edition, it's extremely expensive for them to do so. It's a lot of money for the newsprint. It would seem to me that if the Rogue Valley Times was really hoping to be that community newspaper, which it claims it wishes to be, it would say, "Okay, we're not going to print all of these letters in the print edition. Put it on the online version. Put it in an online letter section, so that way."
That's exactly right. I agree with that. That's my thinking as well.
Yeah, put it in the online version of their website. Maybe just ask them about that, and that has minimal cost to the company because, you know, putting in a whole bunch of letters could be problematic for them. I'm just trying to be fair and look at it from their point of view too. Okay.
Yeah, I understand that. But on the other hand, like I say, this is a very key decision that's coming up. And just to put a complete kibosh on it is not in the best interest of the community.
Well, it's really not a matter of if it's in the best interest of the community. Kiboshing conversation on the charter changes is about benefiting the Democrat Party, which is a lot of what runs the Rogue Valley Times. Okay.
Yeah, well, it certainly seems to be that way. I just keep wondering, and, you know, to me, I hate to say it, but I think the Democrat Party has become the new Communist Party of the USA. They just, everything's about the collective and everything against the individual and its individual rights and so forth. And I put that in my letter, and that's probably... I don't know. I tend to think my letter was strong enough that they did not want to publish it, so they just put a block on all letters.
Yeah. Well, that very well could be. It's easier, and they're hoping that they can just drag Denise Krause's and the Democrat Party's scheme across the finish line and get.
That's it, Billy.
Well, you know,
You're right.
But the thing is, though. What we have to do, though, you know, people of common sense here, Tom, is to reach out. I had a caller who left a message on my phone the other day, and he seems like a perfectly reasonable guy. You know, came from the Amplegate, and he says, "Listen to your show, blah, 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 and I'm a conservative." And I sat down with Denise Krause. I called for a meeting, and I sat down with Denise Krause. And, you know, she wasn't unimpressive. And maybe you should – the answer is no. And the thing is – the reason that the Democrats like Denise Krause want this is because they're not winning elections under the old rules. So they want to stack the deck in their favor. And, you know, these are the same people that tell us that Republicans need to have better candidates to win statewide elections. But we need to change the rules so that the Democrats can easily win here. That's what they're wanting to do with the counties, both counties, Jackson and Josephine.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Tom, appreciate the call. Thanks for that. 770-5633. Another one, quick one here before news. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Hello?
Yeah, good morning, Bill.
Yeah, hi, who's this?
Yeah, this is Sam, Chance Pass.
Hi, Sam.
Medford Work.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, the thing is back when Dr. Franks came to town back a year and a half ago or whatever, he kind of started this whole mess of charters. Don't do charter, and let's get ballot, your polling places back. And so that kind of opened the door because all of a sudden evil said, oh, wait a minute, let's step in and take over. Let's try to push this through. But you know what? Tom is right. We try to get to the legislature. We can't. So guess what? We the people own the street corners. We the people own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get out there, conservatives, not just Republicans, but conservatives, need to get out there and voice their opinions. For so many years, we have allowed evil to take over our world. You know, the pride, the gays, whatever. Oh, as long as it doesn't affect me, not a problem.
Well, look at what happened in Grants Pass with the commissioners. Of course, had that group that they appointed to examine possible changes to the charter, and then it splintered off and became a, hey, Democrat Party wants to repeal and replace the charter, and you're going to go along with this, right?
Exactly. And
yeah.
The thing is, if we don't get out on those street corners, if we don't start knocking our neighbors' doors, if we as conservatives just sit back on our laurels like we've done, we're going to get ran over like a steamroller.
Great. So don't allow yourself to be run over there. And I agree. You know, and talk with your friends. Be an evangelist, okay? Be an evangelist. Okay? No on 17-116. Okay?
Yes.
All right.
Exactly. Thanks, Bill. I just wanted to say that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I ended up putting an argument in the Josephine County voters pamphlet, too. And I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of reading in this voters pamphlet, and I'm hoping that that people are going in there because there's going to be a lot of good arguments. And, of course, all the good arguments are no, as far as I'm concerned. But, you see, that's just it, though. I'm a partisan. I admit I'm a partisan. I'm completely open about it. All the supporters of these charter changes in Josephine and Jackson County are partisans, too. They're just hiding it. They're hiding it, and frankly, they're hoping to fool a lot of naive conservatives that are thinking, well, they couldn't have evil intent or bad intent about this. They're just the answer is no. Okay, it's a 6:35.
We've heard it all.
Apparently, those larger tires don't provide more clearance.
It was a really big bird. Might have been a pterodactyl.
I should have screwed that tool shelf in the garage to the wall.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning. I'm Marcus Villa with your MC5 Morning News Update. Some delays are expected in Medford next week in the latest developments for the Foothill Road project. Next Thursday, April 4th, Foothill Road from McAndrews to Hillcrest will be closed to pave the McAndrews on and off ramps. McAndrews itself, however, will remain open. It's part of the $62 million project that will create two lanes in each direction, as well as sidewalks, bike lanes, and street lighting. Drivers should expect up to 20-minute delays in the area. Traffic control will be at the Hillcrest and North Phoenix intersection. The city says the closure should not go past Thursday, though. There will also be detours available on Springbrook Road. For more on the construction schedule, visit foothillroadproject.org. Ashland Forestry officials began work on its climate adaptation project this week. Similar to the BLM's proposed project in the Applegate, Ashland has seen a large number of Douglas firs die off in the last year. The dead trees pose a significant fire risk, and fire officials want to thin the trees as soon as possible. Work has already started on the Siskiyou Mountain Park property. The city says some trails in the area will be closed starting on Monday. There will be an interactive map on the City of Ashland's website for updates on closures. You can find the link to that on our website, KOBI5.com. And for local news anytime, you can head to our website, KOBI5.com, or to our Facebook page. And that's a look at your morning headlines. From MC5 News, I'm Marcus Veal. Happy Thursday.
Bill Meyer here, and the reports keep coming in from listeners who have saved at Sky Park Insurance. Here's Lauren from Eagle Point.
My insurance bills kept rising over the years, so I took Bill's advice and called Steve at Sky Park. After a few short phone calls, I'm now saving over $500 a year. I even referred my daughter, too.
Sky Park is an independent agency with providers like Progressive, Safeco, Foremost, and many more. Call Steve for a quote, 261-5444, or visit skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
As the Montana roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like three zip.
Oh wait, I didn't know this was a competition.
Composite. Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding. Destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I got to keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana Roofing Crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
The Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
6:38. Kevin Starrett rejoins the show here from Oregon Firearms Federation. And when he's not getting involved politically, I think you're writing children's books, aren't you, this morning?
Illustrating them.
Yeah, illustrating them.
Yes.
And once again, all of the releases coming from the politicians that are saying, oh, look at what we did with the recent legislative session. Oh, it was so great. We reached across the aisle. We brought home money. It's just wonderful. Just beautiful thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's been pretty much the MO. Look at the money I brought in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
None of them mentioned the freedoms that are lost or the complete destruction of the state. They're,
Well,
but, you know, I got $1 million for a senior center.
But, the thing is, though, you have to laugh at the absurdity of how Oregon is run. We just have to. There's just no two ways around it. I'm just looking in this. I haven't had much time to talk about this Amy Kotek Wilson story out of there.
Tina Kotek's husband.
Yeah, no. Well, they say wife, but, you know, of course, I don't know, because we wouldn't want to place a value judgment on them or anything else they do. But of course, the first lady or first wife or whatever she is. I am a person who lives with mental illness and is also in recovery from an alcohol use disorder, she says. To all individuals who are living with a mental illness, struggling with addiction, or are in recovery, I want you to know that you matter and should have hope. And I'm thinking, you know, I'd be mentally ill too if I were living with Tina Kotek, but maybe we should.
Maybe that's what she meant by living with mental illness. You know,
living with a mental illness. But no, now don't we have someone else in the state legislature who is also living with mental illness, Dr. Steiner, right?
Frau Dr. Elizabeth Steiner. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting.
I do find it interesting that the mentally ill people are at least admitting it. Yeah. They're in charge and they're Democrats, though. You can't help but notice this, can you?
Well, you know, this is the weirdest thing is that, you know, I wouldn't want to ever see somebody attacked because they had a mental illness problem, because they were at a drug or alcohol problem, some of that. That happens to people. But if you're an elected official and you have a spouse or whatever this person is, who has these issues, which obviously would, you know, it would impair their judgment.
Yeah.
What you want to do is probably not make them more in the public eye. You know, when Kitty Dukakis was drinking Sterno, they kind of kept her below the radar. You know, Betty Ford was not making decisions for when to nuke another country. But in this case, we take a person who comes out and says, I'm an alcoholic with mental illness, and I have just been given not only an office, but the ability to control policy, driven out other staff members, and there's, you know, on the governor's website is an opportunity to contact her for special events, all at the taxpayer's expense,
with taxpayers, state troopers going around protecting her.
In fact, I think the security detail is, what, $145,000, right?
I don't know what the dollar figure is for the DPU, but mm-hmm. it's a lot, obviously, because it's around the clock. And there's some funny stories about that I probably can't tell you with Kate Brown. But
oh, whoa,
story.
Come on. But, come on, tell me. Kate Brown's gone. You got to tell me. Please tell me.
I can't prove these stories, although they came from police themselves about Kate Brown and a certain DPU officer who happened to be a female. But let's move on, shall we, William?
Oh, okay. My imagination. Well, you know, this is the state of Oregon. She flies with two left wings. Okay.
Exactly.
Isn't that our state motto now? She flies with two left wings.
No, the state motto is Oregon is for dreamers. People who are awake move to Idaho.
Oh, got it. Got it. What are we doing? What are we doing here then?
So the thing is that when you have somebody who has these issues, you don't make them more of a public person. You know, she doesn't have an official job, just shouldn't have any job at all.
But my question, though, is who budgeted this? Where in the legislature is the authority for Tina Kotek to take her wife and start spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer funding on her? Is what I'm trying to figure out. Where is
God only knows, but, you know, we all have different priorities. But it just seems to me that a person like this should be given the help they need, but they should not be elevated to a policy-making position.
No, you don't understand. Kevin, you don't understand.
You're right.
No, she is the perfect person because she's ticking victim cards, right? If she was perfectly normal, you know, other than wanting to be with Tina Kotek, you know, there would be no attraction to having her running policy. The fact that she has problems makes her perfect, okay?
She missed checking a few boxes. Okay, so she's a mentally ill lesbian and an alcoholic. Those are good. But to be perfect, she'd really have to be a minority.
True. Absolutely. Then it would have been a dead bang, and we wouldn't even be allowed to talk about this because, well, what are you?
Obviously, it's on top of all the other issues, which she shouldn't be there in the first place. This is absolutely rank insanity. But clearly, she's not a person who's, you know, creating a lot of harmony within the governor's office because people are leaving. You know, what does that tell you? That it's just more chaos. It's just really, really, really bad judgment on the part of Kotek.
And it would also seem to me if you truly cared about this person, you wouldn't be airing her problems and dirty laundry, you know, out there, too.
But, you know, at this point, based on, you know, of course, I've interacted with Mrs. Kotek. I've never interacted with Mrs. Kotek's spouse, except for the first day that Tina was on the floor as a House rep. She brought her spouse to the floor, you know, as mm-hmm. they were starting their first. And at the time, her spouse was a lobbyist. Now, that's not allowed.
Oh.
And so there was a huge scene on the House floor when Tina's girlfriend, spouse, husband, whatever, was removed from the floor.
Okay, my question, though, is this potentially another John Kitzhaber kind of problem with when he had his shack up, essentially, you know, grifting? A lot of money grifting through that.
I would say it's quite reminiscent of it. You know, so apparently they've learned nothing. You know, I've learned absolutely nothing from this event. It's just staggering stupidity. You know, all of her decisions as a governor are one thing, but this is something that any normal human being would look at and say, this is really not a good idea. You know, with crazy Uncle Bob, we don't bring him out and have him make family decisions, right?
Yeah, what decisions are they trying to get the first wife to do? Just curious.
Well, you know, she's an expert in social work, obviously. So what she should be doing is making decisions about that kind of stuff. And traveling to events and giving out awards and all the time with the DPU, you know, making sure that she's safe. And it's so Oregon. It's so perfectly Oregon.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that update, Kevin. I just couldn't hold back any longer, and I'm glad you're here. Kevin Starrett from the Oregon Firearms Federation. We wanted to talk about some other politics this morning, and it's also kind of unseemly, and this is the attempt to rehabilitate Christine Drazen, who I'm not a huge fan of. I know you're not a huge fan of, too. And first question I would have for you is the real Christine Drazen website still up there? Just curious. Is it still out there?
No.
It's not.
No, the real Christine Drazen website, which was put up while she was running for governor, was taken down because, of course, she's not running for governor anymore. And as of fairly recently, sat down with the leadership of the Clackamas County Republican Party and directly told them she was not getting back into politics, which, of course, was absurd because she's been the face of this other political organization, which she started as soon as she lost her governor's race. So that was a flat-out lie, which, of course, is not uncommon in politics or in the life of Christine Drazen. And in any event, we took that website down because the governor's race was over.
Right.
However, most of the information is still available because the pages can still be viewed by anybody who knows is familiar with the website called the Wayback Machine, which if you Google it, is a site that catalogs websites, uncounted millions of websites from different points in time. So you can go to this site called the Wayback Machine, and it'll give you a window where you can type in the name of a website you're looking for, in this case, therealdrazen.com, and then pick certain calendar days and see snapshots from the website. And what makes it so useful is that if you do that, most of the links that were embedded in those pages are still functioning. So when we pointed out what bills she voted for, which were left-wing bills, you can still see the bill history. You can still see most of everything that was connected to that site is still working. So if people are curious about Christine Drazen's history as a legislature, which is pretty abysmal, you know, I mean, for those who have forgotten, you know, I mean, Christine Drazen voted twice to put tampons in kindergarten boys' bathrooms and then claimed that it never happened. And in fact, those dastardly Democrats changed the bill after she voted for it, which is a complete stone lie, provable by just looking at the bill history. She voted to ban ropes with loops at the end. She voted to change the state song because it included the words free men.
And this is all true. And but the thing is, what we've discovered here, and here it is, we were setting Governor Kotek on fire, you know, for her policies. And we're doing the same thing for a Republican, even though we're Republicans, because there's just a lot of hinky going on in this state on both sides of the aisle right now. And this push to bounce out James Hebe when Christine Drazen has the chutzpah to show up at the caucuses, the Republican caucus, when she hasn't even won the election, as if this is just going to be my seat as I reclaim. Well,
you know,
it irritates me. You know,
the Republicans are claiming that this was campaign caucus. You know, this wasn't an official caucus. Well, you know, I don't know where they held it. I think it was in some offices outside of the Capitol. But it sends a direct message to James Hebe. And, you know, here's the thing is, James Hebe was appointed to that seat when Christine Drazen abandoned it to run for governor. Mm-hmm. Now, I can guarantee you that he was picked by the county commissioners with the expectation that he would fail. They were hoping he would fail because what they really wanted was a candidate that Drazen was pushing. But the PCPs, the precinct committee people, never picked that candidate. So James was picked because they were convinced that he would serve a few weeks in the legislature at the end of the session and that he could never win an election. That was their hope. And then once again, they ran a Drazen clone. But James won the election. He won the primary, and he won the election.
That wasn't supposed to happen, was it?
It wasn't supposed to happen. So the establishment Republicans are wetting themselves, of course, because they have done everything they could to undermine him from the minute he got there. They've given him bad advice. They've attacked him. You know, they've ridiculed him. And the thing is, James has something very few of them have. He doesn't have their experience. He doesn't have that slick political persona. But he has something most of them lack, and that's principles, okay? And so, of course, we can't have that. So,
look at what's been going on with the Christine Goodwin situation. Everyone's trying to take out anybody who is conservative. Anyone who's conservative. The senators, the 10 senators, people running in there.
Christine Goodwin has a House seat, which mm-hmm. she could have kept, but instead she decides, oh, look at that. You know, the Republicans who demonstrated some backbone in the Senate and were forced out because, well, you know, it's okay for nurses to strike, but it's not okay for legislators to strike. So, of course, that was seen as an opportunity by some House members to move up. So, of course, she wanted Art Robinson's seat. And, you know, I've been reading she's claiming that it's the Noah Robinson's people who are behind this lawsuit. I have no reason to believe that that's
true. No, I can assure you, if John West, who has loads of integrity in my view, when he says that Noah Robinson had nothing to do with it, I can take that to the bank, okay? He's a commissioner.
But to get back to James Heap, you know, I mean, he was elected, he served, he's running again. I believe there's no Democrat who filed for the seat, so whoever wins the primary in that district is going to win the election. And so Drazen comes back because, my God, you know, that's my seat. And she tells
me. And besides, the lobby loves me. The lobby loves me, which means I have lots of money, right?
Well, she does have lots of money, and James didn't have a lot of money. You know, he's just not one of those people who's endlessly fundraising. And, you know, Drazen is the darling of the establishment, and the last thing they want to have is a true conservative there or somebody who actually gets up and says things that no one else will say because he has those principles and he has the backbone, and they can't have that. And so Drazen comes back after saying she's not coming back, you know, and actually she actually filed complaints against the Clackamas County Party, claiming they were violating some of their rules, that she's attacking her own party, of which she is. She is a PCP, I've been told. Mm-hmm. She is a PCP in Clackamas. I've also been told by party leaders that she attends no meetings. She doesn't get involved in anything, but she has filed complaints against the party and its leaders, all of which were determined to be completely unfounded by the party attorney. So, you know, it's so obvious what's going on. It's like she needs to be in politics, and she's entitled, and she has the money, and she just decided, hey, I'm getting my seat back, and this is where
the rubes in James Heap district will just say, well, obviously, we're going to have to go with Christine, right?
But look, the thing is, everybody has the right to run for office, mm-hmm. You know, clearly. The reality is that if somebody looks at her record, you know, I've heard her described as a rhino. I don't believe she's a rhino. She is a Democrat. She voted. But look, this is somebody who voted to hamstring the police during the riots. This is somebody who voted to protect. Remember, not everybody remembers, but one of Tina Kotek's staffers, when she was House Speaker, was arrested at an Antifa riot. Well, Christine Drazen voted to protect that woman from charges while hamstringing the police. And it goes on and on and on. This is irrespective of, you know, does she, all the personal things aside, you know, the entitlement, all of that kind of stuff. Does she have the kind of voting record that Republicans in Oregon really want to see replicated?
Well, I don't think so. And that's why anytime I have the opportunity to help out someone like a James Heap, who finds themselves under the attack by the lobbyists or the caucus, as the case might be. And by the way, I don't think this is a state Republican Party issue. This is, basically the lobbies and the caucus in the legislature, right? That is really going after people like Heap.
You know, I don't know that the state party typically does nothing.
Right.
In this case, I've been informed that the Clackamas Republican Party is endorsing James Heap, which is really unprecedented because the Republican Party, they don't typically endorse people in primaries, even though I think they should, you know, so that we could identify the frauds like the Newt Buellers of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I believe they have, in fact, endorsed James because they know Christine Drazen, and they know that she's a vapid, shallow, you know, somebody who just has only her own interests at heart. And James isn't like that. And anyone who has looked at her voting record, which anyone can look up, you know, this is not me saying this. We've tracked her voting record the entire time she's been there. And, you know, this is somebody who sits down with Tina Kotek and makes a ridiculous deal, right? She says, okay, we will stop slowing down the progress of your ultra-liberal bills if we get a seat at the redistricting table.
As if you were going to believe Tina Kotek's promise that you're going to get a seat at the redistricting table, right?
Well, so of course they got a seat temporarily, and then Tina Kotek reneges on the deal. But what makes it far more ridiculous was that even if Kotek had not done that, the deal never made any sense because the Senate side never had a similar agreement. So, in fact, she got nothing, and then even after getting nothing and giving away the store, Kotek reneges on the deal as a liar that she is and makes the Republicans a laughingstock once again. This is not somebody with the kind of job. I mean, I remember, you know, this is Christine Drazen gets up on the House floor and calls Oregon Firearms Federation a rogue organization after she came to us repeatedly asking for and getting fairly large checks. You know, we contributed a lot of money to Republican candidates.
But you see, you're not a favorite of the lobby. That's just it. You're not a favorite of the Vicky Breeze Iversons and the people who are working the aisles for cash, in my opinion. What's going on?
We're certainly not the favorites of the establishment, but I will never forget the day that there was the riot outside of, or the, I would say, the disturbance outside the Capitol in Salem. Mm-hmm. After weeks of not hearing a word or getting any return calls from Drazen, she calls me. I thought, that's kind of odd. What an odd day to call, because I was watching this all unfold on live streams. And she said, oh, you know, I think I owed you a phone call. I said, this is kind of an odd time to be calling, isn't it? Do you know what's going outside your building? And she said to me, no, I know there are a lot of police here. But okay, this is how out of touch this person is. This is just not a person with the background or the judgment to be in a state that so desperately needs people who are actually trying to lead it out of the darkness and stand up to the liberals.
And so I'm a big fan of James Heeb, even though I don't know him, but I appreciate the take on we're going to stand up. We're not going to vote yes on bills just to get our deals cut like so many other Republicans did in the last legislative session. I'm very disappointed in how much of this. If you're not opposing this, you know, you can't get anything good done in the legislature. All you can do is resist and do everything you can to derail or stop the situation, right? I mean, that's the honestly where Republicans find themselves. And so you
Absolutely.
Need conservatives. You need conservatives, not Republicans. You need conservatives who are Republicans,
not just an R,
yeah. You know?
You need patriots. And I will tell you, as I've told other people, I have not agreed with every vote that James has taken, and I've made that clear to him. I think he needs some better advice. But here's the thing: all of that stuff can be learned. What can't be learned is having principles. And in my estimation, Drazen has none, and James has plenty of them. And that's why I just do not want to see her swooping back in, thinking she's entitled to this seat, when she has a voting record that would make any liberal in the state extremely happy.
Yeah, and that's just it, bottom line. We're talking about an alert that Kevin Starrett sent out from Oregon Firearms. You can go to oregonfirearms.org and take a look at that latest alert. And
That alert is not posted on our website.
Oh, it's not?
It went out to our members.
But, oh, it did?
You know, I mean, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, but basically what I said was actually, it was sent out from our political action committee.
Oh, the PAC. I'm sorry.
To donate to James, because he really has not been the kind of lobbyist influence fundraiser, and she's got tons of money left over, and it's going to be hard to compete with that. And I will tell you that people have responded. You know,
good.
People have responded and have been helping out his campaign, for which I am grateful, and I know he is because he called me and told me that. So, you know, JamesHeeb.com is his website. You can go there and donate. If it's $5 or $10, it keeps him in the running, and it sends a message to the establishment that people aren't going to just lay down and take it anymore.
I think it's very important that the candidates who are true conservatives, not just a Republican, not just an R on the system, are the ones that need to be there. And look at what happened here with Measure 113. The absolute best of the state senators got bounced out. And frankly, the people who are not as good are pouncing and trying to run, you know, for those seats. Just very sad. Very is.
No, it really is a terrible thing to watch. I mean, it's amazing to me that when Measure 113 was on the ballot, there was not a single argument posted in the voters' pamphlet against it.
I made note of that several times on my show, Kevin.
Yeah, the Republican establishment was so convinced they were going to have this red wave that they didn't have to do any work. And as a result, we lost some really, really good senators. And ironically, of course, on the other side, you have people like Travis Nelson, who will never stop reminding you that he's the first black gay man who's been appointed to the House, puts up tweets of himself walking picket lines with nurses and supporting their strikes while attacking Republican legislators for doing the exact same thing. Now, frankly, Bill, between you and I, who would you rather see not go to work, legislators or nurses?
Legislators, for the most part. I'd say legislators by far, especially the way Oregon's been getting governed, okay? All right.
Yeah. I mean, the hypocrisy is amazing.
And, well, I'll share this information about James, too. You know, and
Thank you.
You know, every candidate out there that is not part of that blob, you know how D.C. has the blob? Well, Oregon has the blob, too. You know, the lobbies and the conventional Republicans. And you can't just have a Republican. You need to have a conservative with some backbone and principle, and that's what we need more of. Okay? I appreciate your call, as always, Kevin. You be well.
Okay? Thank you, Bill. Take care.
Kevin Starrett, OregonFirearms.org. And a little conversation. Yeah, noodling around all sorts of politics, but that's okay. The conspiracy. We're just kind of laying out the conspiracies on Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
Access your stored items safe and secure. Storage at Exit 24 has all sizes of units with traditional outdoor access that are brightly lit with wide paved drives. Affordable RV and boat parking is available too. Conveniently located off I-5. Storage at exit24.com.
2x4, 2x8. Who do we appreciate? Hughes Lumber. Hughes Lumber. Tweedledee. Tweedledum. The carpenter just hit his thumb. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. What lumberyard has the best repertoire? Hughes Lumber. Hughes Lumber. Mary had a little lamb, but it needed fencing from the ram. She also needed a brand new barn. But only one company has the charm. So when it comes to lumber, what's your choice? Say Hughes Lumber and rejoice on Crater Lake Highway. Hughes Lumber.
At Batteries Plus, we want to know, what moves you? Is it an SUV or a motorcycle or a golf cart or a boat? Whatever moves you drives us. Batteries Plus, bringing power to your life. Stop in or shop online at batteriesplus.com.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. By Dish.
Marcus is a connoisseur of anything that's free, so he was happy to read the disclaimer on TurboTax Free Edition.
Roughly 37% of taxpayers qualify. Form 1040 and limited credits only. See how at TurboTax.com. That's me!
File your taxes 100% free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your max refund guaranteed. See if you qualify to file for free at TurboTax.com. See max refund guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
It's a dangerous time on Conspiracy Theory Thursday because it'll be open phones after news. 770-563-3770-KMED. You know, recently, a number of the tribes in the state of Oregon have asked the U.S. Interior Secretary to deny that proposed casino in Medford. Do you agree with efforts to do this? You know, the tribes don't want competition. You can understand. When you got the gambling market, you got the rackets going in the gambling world, and this is all part of it. Everybody wants to have their own territory, I guess. And these four tribes are opposed to this, and they have asked the U.S. Interior Secretary to deny this casino in Medford. Do you agree or not? Something I would like to talk with you about and other news going on, too. And we can certainly kick that around and more. 770-5633. We'll catch up now on news.